In this episode, we'll be talking about branding when you're just starting out and how to make sure you are attracting the right clients with your branding. Welcome to Her Balanced Hustle, a show helping ambitious female entrepreneurs build the systems needed to scale their business past six figures while maintaining a healthy work-life balance. These conversations will unveil topics you may have struggled with, like best hiring practices, action items you need to take to elevate your business to the next level, how to handle your business finances, but most of all, creating a business that doesn't sacrifice your life. I'm your host, Kiri. Join me each week to learn how to scale your own business. Hello, welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Kiri Mohan. Today, we're going to be going into how to build your business brand as a woman entrepreneur. Branding is actually really important, and I think it's very essential for your brand and attracting high-paying clients, but it can often be underutilized or not utilized to your best advantage. So this episode is going to go into that a little bit more. Don't forget, as a podcast listener, you do get a special discount to my Corporate to Contract Core, my course that helps you build and strategize your freelance business so you can get high-paying clients and work less hours during the week. Use the code PODCAST to get $100 off and go to corporate2contract.com to access the course. Now, branding. This is something that I went into with Cynthia in my last episode. And I kind of want to walk through those steps and the process to build a brand that is going to attract high-paying clients. All right. So when you're first starting out, you want to think about the name of your business, the logo, if you need one, your color palette, and even fonts. When you're thinking about a name, think about if you want a business name or you want to go with your own name. There are pros and cons for both. I actually go into this a lot in my course. But if you're going to go with your name, it's very versatile. It's flexible. You can really pivot and change to do whatever you want over the course of your freelance career, and your name is always going to work. However, if you are really good and specialized in one area of knowledge, suppose you're a virtual assistant or you're a digital marketing agency or you're an SEO person or an accountant or bookkeeper, and that is what you're going to stick in as a freelancer, I would suggest going for a name that maybe it's better for SEO, right? Which is search engine optimization. So maybe you'd go into, it would be the number one marketing agency.com. Of course, that's probably taken. Or, you know, especially if you're a local business or you only want to work with local people, it's very important to have for SEO something like thebostonflorist.com. So those are two things to think about when it comes to your name. Once you have that, you want to have a logo. And the logo evokes usually something a little bit from the person and they stand out so that they remember you. If you look at my corporate to contract logo, what I love about it is the corporate is a very corporate font, but it also fades a little bit, because we're transitioning from a corporate life to an online contractor or a freelance lifestyle. So there's an arrow then that goes to the number two with an arrow. And then contract is a little bit of a more script font. It shows that casual nature, that writing nature, that more at home or running your own business. It's not as formal and stiff as corporate. So that's just my example of my logo. When I had my freelance business, the power symbol. All right, that was part of my virtual assistant business, was a power symbol, because I wanted to represent to people that I was always on. As the years went by and I gravitated away from that and I wanted more of that flexible lifestyle that I learned to build, I changed the logo to have a check mark in it because I wanted to reflect to people that I always was getting things done. I checked things off the list and I was reliable like that. So you can see the logo has this artistic representation that speaks to someone in a little subtle way. Now, of course, you don't always have to have art as part of your logo. Look at Google, right? Look at Coca-Cola. Those play more heavily into colors. Now, colors go into your branding. And I talked about this with Cynthia. I teach people to try to be a reflection of their ideal client and ideal industry. So if you really want to work with, let's say, yoga teachers, go research yoga teachers. What kind of colors are they using on their webpage? What kind of fonts are they using on their webpage? Let's go a step further. What kind of pictures are they taking of themselves and have on their webpage? Mimic your fonts. Now, don't copy them, but use the same kind of palette. Maybe it's pastels. Maybe it's very neutral colors, right, for yoga teachers. Use those colors, that branding, those fonts, and even maybe those photos that they have on your own page, because that's going to resonate with them more than someone who has I don't know, dark reds and dark blacks or something like that, right? That's going to help win your client and attract the clients that you want to work with. Let's think about another example. Let's say you want to work with the food industry, which is what Cynthia brought up. You know, she said there's a lot of reds and yellows in there because that is very food oriented. I would even say greens, maybe, like if you think about salads. Suppose you want to work with the food industry, research the food industry, take those colors, use them in your own branding, because that is going to be really important for your business to attract the right clients to you. Branding is about consistency. Cynthia mentioned this, and that is really important as a woman entrepreneur, any entrepreneur, to be consistent in your branding. Make sure that your proposals have the same colors, the same fonts, the same feel to them, right? The website, that has to be consistent. The way you write on your website needs to also kind of sound like how you write on social media. Those are going to attract the clients that you want to attract to you, and that becomes your brand identity. And then once you have that brand identity, people recognize that and they associate that with you. That is who you are. All right. So let's talk a little bit about rebranding. This is something that people often go through. And especially as you continue down your career, you know, I kind of mentioned with my virtual assistant freelance business, I had that always on symbol, the power symbol to represent that I was always on. And then I changed it to a check mark. Now, keep in mind that my fonts did not change. My colors did not change. The way I wrote and my tone of voice did not change. Really, all that changed was the logo. I was trying to evoke something different at in a client that came my way. So that was not a rebrand. A rebrand is really completely, are you diversifying your offers? Or are you just changing your business completely? If you are a bookkeeper and you want to go into proposal writing or copywriting, that's a rebrand. That's a different business. You are completely changing it. The clients you want to attract are going to be attracted to different branding elements in your business as a bookkeeper versus, you know, something totally different, copywriting. That's something you need to keep in mind. So a rebrand, often I think people confuse that. They think, oh, I changed my colors. I changed my fonts. I changed my logo. Yes, you're rebranding, but if your services are still the same, you need to really think about why. Why are you rebranding? And this is something I teach my students too. Are you rebranding to attract a different client, or and your services are the same? Or are you rebranding because your business is completely different? And that is something you really need to get down to the heart of it. Is the nature of your business changing, or are you just updating? Updating rebrand and a changing rebrand, totally different. So these are just a few things I want you to think about as you grow your business and as you scale your business. When you're starting out, make sure you start getting that branding into place. And don't just think about yourself. Think also about what your ideal client wants and your ideal industry that you want to get paid by, because then you're going to have that reflect back to you. And that's really, really important. You want to attract those businesses and those clients to your site and then make you more likely to be hired than a competitor, because you are reflecting back to them what they are used to seeing. And then when it's a rebrand, you need to think about, are you actually changing your services, or are you just updating, right? Or are you completely overhauling and going in a new direction? That is very different as well. And that would be a totally different rebrand. So again, thank you for joining me on this episode. I hope you found it informative. I hope you found it helpful. I really want to hear from you. I love interacting when people email me, when they, you know, reach out on social media. I totally enjoy it. I had someone reach out the other day talking about my podcast and I just loved it and warmed my heart. So if that's you and you want to connect with me, I'm really active on LinkedIn. You can find me. I'm Kiri Mohan. I'm pretty much the only person there. You can join my Freelancer Corner, which is the Facebook group where lots of freelancers come. We join, we talk about issues of freelancing. And again, don't forget, you have that $100 off offer of my Corporate to Contract Core course because you are listening to the podcast. Just use the code PODCAST.